Hello again and welcome to our program. Today we're going to sum up this series. This is number 20 in this series of The Last Mile of the Way. Once again, Paul said that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. He said, I have to finish my course. Every one of us as Christians are here with something to do, and it should be our aim to finish our course with joy and the ministry which the Lord has given unto us. That is what we're trying to get the strength to do in this series. We looked at Jude's purpose, and in verse 3 he said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now notice he uses the word diligence. Diligence is a persistent effort, continuing a course of action, refusing to quit in spite of difficulty or opposition. We're going to look at that. First of all, as we conclude this series, we've used this hymn a few times. It is a prayer. If we will sincerely and honestly make this our prayer, then God will do what we ask him to do. Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. We don't need to be doing what our peers expect us to do. We need to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. Let this be our earnest prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. And free, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Savior nigh, teach me to live, to die, save.
looking at Jude's purpose in writing. We said before, why'd he write? He obviously cared. He could have just sat at home and gone in the backyard, stirred up the barbecue, and played with his children. But he had some serious situation facing him here, and he said, I gave all diligence to write unto you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, I gave all diligence, not a little bit of diligence, all diligence. Diligence is a persistent effort, continuing a course of action, refusing to quit in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now, a course of action, that is doing something to achieve an aim. What is our aim? Well, according to the scriptures, it should be to contend for the faith. Now, notice it doesn't say contend against the apostasy. That's coming. It says contend for the faith. And so our course of action in doing something and achieving this aim should be to be contending for the faith. So again, if you were taken to court and the judge said, now you're a Christian, the Bible says you're supposed to be contending for the faith, so we better find you guilty here. What evidence would you give the judge to prove you were guilty of contending for the faith? That's a serious question. We need to take that question to the Lord and say, Lord, am I really contending for the faith today? And then diligence includes refusing to quit. Now, we've put this list up here before in 1 and 2 Timothy when God sums it up. I'm spelling sums, S-O-M-E-S, because he's referring to some who were teaching false doctrine. Some turned aside after vain jangling. Some made shipwreck. Some departed from the faith. Some turned after Satan. Some sinned openly, others secretly. Some coveted after money. Some erred concerning the faith. Some had their faith overthrown, and some were vessels to dishonor. But thank the Lord, number 11 there, some were vessels to honor. There you have the remnant. Now, what we need to do is be part of that some were vessels to honor that we read about in 2 Timothy 2:20, refusing to quit. Also, Jude focused on the common salvation. Now, we mentioned before this word common in the Greek is koinos. It has been translated defiled in Mark 7:2. It has been translated unclean in Romans 14:14, actually three times in that verse, unclean. And in Hebrews, it has been translated unholy. So Jude said, I gave all diligence to write unto you about this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation which has come in. And recently we have the same problem where they're saying you don't need to repent in order to be saved, only believe. The devil believes and trembles, the Bible says. Also in Galatians, Paul wrote to them and said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed to another gospel. That problem was prevalent 2,000 years ago in our local churches. And as we get to the end of the age, the Bible says once again, these perilous times will come. We need to face the facts. We need to open up our eyes to realize that we're living in an age, even in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist churches, where there's defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation being presented. If you leave what Jesus said out, then it's defiled, unclean, and unholy. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I have to wonder what part of that verse is too difficult for anybody to understand. And there's a lot of other verses. So what should we be doing? We should be earnestly contending for the faith. But no, not much of that today. There's a strange silence in our pulpits not exposing this. Now, we need to realize if someone just in a period of an emotional decision decides to vote for Jesus, they're no more saved than when before they prayed. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We're filling our churches with people who've never repented. That means they never got saved. Now, he says here, Jude 1:24, he refers to him that is able to keep us from falling into apostasy. Psalm 56, the psalmist prayed, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Jude gives us directions here how to keep from falling. He said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost and keeping yourselves in the love of God. I want to look for a minute at this praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we could be a year in this little book. We're just trying to give some thoughts about it that might help you in your studies. Praying in the Holy Ghost, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit. Also in Romans 8, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, that should be himself, it's been translated himself over 50 times, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then he said, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? Well, fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. The way to keep ourselves in the love of God is to fellowship with him. And there's a lot of ways to do that. We need, you know, I have a car that I can put a USB stick in there and it'll play over the speakers. And I take all these hymns like some of the ones that we've been using on this program. And as I travel along in the car, I put on those hymns and just sing along with the Lord, fellowshipping with him. It's a great time to fellowship when you're traveling along. I drove home in the middle of the night recently. I was about 5 hours. I was praying all the way. I had to stay awake. I drove all night. And I had that music on and just praying to the Lord. Great time of fellowship. But if we want to keep ourselves in the love of God, we have to have fellowship with him. If we fellowship with him, then we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God. Notice it said here, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We must never lose track of the fact that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us, looking for that mercy, that when that rapture will take place, and we shall go to be with the Lord. We need to be sure we don't take that for granted. It's his mercy that makes that possible. We need to keep a focus on that, not focusing on everything that is so negative, but focusing onto that which is eternal, looking for that mercy. When the trumpet shall sound, I don't know how many times I have said to the Lord in the last couple, 3 years, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But notice he says, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We need to be sure in this age when there's so much anti-Christ stuff going on that we have compassion. They hated Christ, but what do we read about him? Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them. Mark 1, Jesus moved with compassion. Mark 6:34, Jesus was moved with compassion. 8:2, I have compassion on the multitude. Luke 15:20, the prodigal went and spent his time in the pig pen. He came home and he's smelling like a person who's been laying in pig manure. And what do we see? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Yeah, he didn't smell very good, but his father had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We need to hate the sin, but we need to love the sinner. And so in this age of apostasy, we need to take this verse to heart. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Yeah, be careful. You have compassion for the sinner, hate the sin. And then as Jude concludes, he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Once again, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Well, that concludes our series on the last mile of the way. But once again, as we conclude this series, let's sing this hymn. It's a prayer. "Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way."
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. Thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Hey!